Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we were unbelievers, what was most important to us was material. The material world that we try our best to prepare ourselves since young to gain as much as possible. And so we go to school, we work hard, and then we learn a trade. We go to university because we believe that once we have a university education, it will open many doors for us to amass as much of the material world as possible. This is what we see in many first world countries, and this was what we did for ourselves. And as parents, we try to also do the same for our children. The material world that will give us hope, give us the assurance, the comforts, not only for the present, but also for our future. This is bombarded, impressed, impacted into our psyche since young. And so the material world was everything. To those who want to save the world, save the earth, to those who give their lives, their time, their energy to preserve this world, it's a reminder of what we were like when we were not born again in Christ. When a man is in total depravity, when he is dead in sin, when his eyes are spiritually blind, he cannot see what is beyond the three-dimensional realm. The material world was everything. But after salvation in Christ Jesus, Jesus told us that when you became a Christian, whatever possessions you have at the time when you accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, you must now stop loving mammon. Mammon here does not limit itself to money. It refers to the material world. You must now learn to love God. You cannot love both. God will not accept it. It's either you love one and hate the other. And then God also tells us, Jesus told us, in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This was what we sought after before salvation, the material world. We go to work, we pour out our heart, our soul, our energy to seek more material things. What we have at home, not enough. What we have in the bank account, not enough. We have to seek more and more and more until we retire, and then hopefully we have saved enough for our retirement. Jesus says to us, after salvation, you must now stop seeking the material world. Because if you love God and hate mammon, you cannot continue to seek after mammon. A person who is born again in Christ will now seek after things that are different, things that are not based upon the things of the earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's found in heaven, eternal things, and God's righteousness to live a holy life. And then trust God to provide whatever you need on this earth. The Lord's provision. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ deliberately recorded this amazing miracle for us, for the disciples, so that we may learn to trust God to provide for our material world as we focus only on the spiritual. It is not a focus on spiritual sometimes and focus on material other times. It has to be 100% focused on spiritual. That's what Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and leave the material world to your heavenly Father to provide. Otherwise, you will not be able to bear a holy witness for Christ. You cannot say, I will seek spiritual things on Sunday morning when I come to church, not only for Sunday morning, but afternoon and evening. But then Monday to Saturday, let me seek after the world. And then Sunday, I seek after the things of God. God says, that is not what I want you to do. What I want you to do, God says, is seek after God's kingdom and his righteousness 24/7. No break. You continue to do so until the Lord calls you home. There is no break, even when you are on vacation. You must continue to seek after God's kingdom and his righteousness. It makes no difference what you are doing, where you are, you must continue.
And that's why this miracle is to remind us of that. The Lord Jesus Christ knows this is something that you must never forget. That after salvation, the Lord allows you to serve Him on this earth, in whatever condition or capacity that you might be in. Whether you are married, whether you are single, whether you have a particular issue or challenge, you may not have 100% use of your arm, your leg. It does not matter. Your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need to serve Him. You have to know. He makes no mistakes in your life. Even though when we fall into sin, even though when we are wayward, even though in our waywardness we suffer a grievous consequence, after repentance we come back and the condition of the consequence remain in our lives. Please understand that your Heavenly Father knows. He could heal you after you have repented and then serve Him with health and strength. He could do that if He had wanted to, but He did not. Because we know that there are certain consequences of our transgression that God may want us to serve in. Whatever the condition might be, you must understand the knowledge, intimate knowledge of your Heavenly Father, now that He is your God. You have to understand that He knows. Whether you are going through a difficult time in your workplace, whether you are experiencing making ends meet, you have to understand that He knows your condition. Because the moment you forget this, you think your Heavenly Father doesn't know. Why did God want me to serve in this state and condition? You're going to murmur, you're going to complain. There was an FEBC student who came from a foreign country. He applied for study in FEBC and he was accepted. And so he arrived, everything was smooth sailing, he was supported by a local church. And then as our custom was, the first thing they have to do after they come in, they will have to go for a medical examination. And so together with all the first year students, he went for a full medical examination with blood tests and so on. And a few days later, the result came back. He was HIV positive. He cannot stay. He had to be sent back immediately. Now, he studied hard and he graduated from his local Bible college where he came from. And he thought that he could come to FEBC to further his studies to get a master's. But he could not. God had other plans for him. He had to go back and he had to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ with whatever days or weeks he had left. Because he knew that in his state and condition, he did not have too long to live. Now he must understand the sovereignty of God, the love of his Heavenly Father in his life, that the Lord knows. Could the Lord have healed him of his HIV condition after he accepted Christ? Yes, he could have. But the Lord did not. Because when he was not a believer, he committed multiple times the sin of fornication. And so he was diseased by the HIV virus. Even after salvation, the HIV virus remained in his body. And so very soon after he went back, he served for a few weeks. And then news came to us a few months later that the Lord had took him home. The Lord had taken him home. You and I must know that the Lord knows. Whatever state and condition that you are in after salvation, God says you leave behind. God did not leave you behind. Suddenly, after He has rewarded you with millions of dollars, He will leave you behind in whatever state and condition that He saved you in. He was there from the moment you begin to exist in your mother's womb. Whether your father passed away when you are very young or your father is still with you, all these are in the hand of your Heavenly Father right up to the time when you accepted Christ. And then after He saved you, you could have gone to heaven straight away like the thief who died on the cross next to Christ. But God says no. In the same state and condition, financially, physically, whatever the state and condition that I have saved you in, remain behind and serve me. I know. And you have to trust me. You must now focus only on your spiritual well-being so that you can be more spiritually ready and equipped to do the spiritual work that I have for you. But in the material realm, you just work hard and do not be motivated anymore by material gain. Do not be motivated by promotion and bonuses. That has to stop. That was the old man, when the material world meant everything to you. But now that after salvation, you must know that the material world is supposed to be the least important thing in your life, so much so that you should not even be thinking about this. You should now only think on one thing and one thing only. How to be more spiritual in all relationships of my life. That's why you have to know that the Lord will provide and take care of your physical, your material. And so in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, they did not call him and they did not inform him, like in the other miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples came and said to Jesus, there are too many of them, we don't have enough, we've got to send them home. But in this instance, the Lord Jesus Christ broached the subject. And then he said to the disciples, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days. Why did Jesus Christ wait until 3 days? Jesus Christ knew that they were already hungry. They had been with him for 3 days. Why didn't he just simply tell the disciples after 1 day, then send them back? They would not be in this state and condition of frailty. Because after 3 days with Christ, without anything proper to eat, Jesus said in verse 3, and if I send them away fasting without any food to their own houses, they will faint by the way, because a number of them, diverse, many of them came from far. So in other words, Jesus Christ deliberately allowed a situation whereby the great multitude and a number of them who live a long distance away, it was impossible for them to get back home safely without fainting along the way. The Lord knows, whatever state and condition, this is something that you and I constantly forget. We forget that God is all-powerful. Or we may talk about the doctrine, but we do not believe in the doctrine as seen by the way that we live our lives. Because we are more focused on a material world than on spiritual. Did you read your Bible this morning? Did you read your Bible before you go to sleep at night? If you have not, that is a clear evidence and indication that the material world is more important to you than the spiritual. Because I'm sure you never forget to eat your breakfast. You can forget to have your spiritual food, but you cannot forget to eat your breakfast and of course your lunch and your dinner as well. And then when you go to work, what motivates you when you go to work? Students, what motivates you when you study? Is it to get into some good schools or is it to be a holy, godly witness for Christ to your classmates? These are evidence that you must know in your own heart, in your own soul, whether you truly trust in the Lord to provide for all the material realm in your life, as Jesus Christ promised us, that we must only focus on the spiritual as parents, Christian parents. Do you focus on the spiritual in the children's upbringing, or do you focus on the material? You think the Lord does not know what your children are going through? What you need is to focus on the spiritual. Do you know that when the spiritual relationship with Christ is healthy and sound and biblical, everything around them, everything in their lives will fall into proper place? Do you know that? Because once they are right with Christ, once they are right with God in their relationship, they will not do anything that will be against the word of God. They will study with the right motive. They will study hard because this is what the Lord Jesus Christ would want them to do. They will not study hard just to get that reward. Whatever the reward might be, it could be a scholarship, It could be some reward that you promised them. If you study hard, mommy, daddy will go to this holiday, buy you this thing and buy you that thing. These are all the enticement that you want them to have. And the moment this enticement stop, what do you think will happen to their diligence? It will stop too. But if they are constrained by the love of Christ, that will never stop. Because as long as they are right with God and right with Christ, the love that they have for Christ will continue to be the fire that burns within their soul to keep them in the path of righteousness and holiness, that you have nothing to worry about, whether they are staying at home with you or you send them overseas all by themselves. You can have that peace in your heart and the assurance that your son, your daughter will have the fear of God in their heart and they will not sin against the Lord. That is why it is so important that you must know that the Lord knows what you are going through in the material realm. Don't murmur and complain. Whatever physical condition that you are in. I know of people murmuring and complaining because in their evening years they have been stricken with a stroke. And then now they are in a wheelchair. They pray very hard. They were even ask their friends to pray for them that they will get out of their wheelchair, and they will not. Because you and I know what a stroke can do to a person. Half the body will be paralyzed. They can't use much of their hands. It is weakened. One side of their body is not able to walk properly, and so they will probably have to spend the rest of their time on this earth witnessing for Christ in a wheelchair, and they could not accept that. They could not accept that material condition. They want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ on their own terms, and that is in health and in wealth. Or they may even have wealth, but they don't have health and they are not happy. And so what has happened is they murmur and complain to no end. And then when they look around them and they see people, their colleagues, contemporaries of the same age, and they have full use of their limbs and they were not happy, they murmur and they complain. And they want to surrender their lives to Christ on their own terms. I will surrender and follow you, Lord, but you must let me walk again. You must trust God to take care of your entire material world. Not only what you have on your table to eat on a regular basis, and what you have in your refrigerator, what you have in your cupboard in terms of clothing. These are things that once consume you, the most important. Now they must be the least important, including your physical well-being. As you serve the Lord into the 70s and 80s and the 90s, you think you can still serve the Lord with the same kind of energy that you are now serving in your 30s and 40s? You and I know that this body, as it ages, will feel aches and pains, and it will slow down to a snail pace. And then getting up from a chair is going to be a struggle. Don't talk about climbing staircase. Getting up from a chair is a struggle. They're going to murmur and complain. Many people talk about when you are sick, when you are old, when you are bedridden, you have lost the quality of life. That is the thinking of the world. That must never be the thinking of the Christian. Our quality of life is not measured by our physical. So now you're in a wheelchair, no more quality of life. So now what are you going to do? Murmur and complain until the Lord takes you home? No quality of life? There's one family in our church, I mentioned them before. You know how the whole family came to know Christ? Before salvation, that family had all the things that the world could offer them. Their only son did supremely well in school, not only in studies, but also in sports, tennis, swimming. Did not need to have any tuition, and he would do well in English, math, science, and Chinese as well. So everything was very smooth sailing. He was in primary four, and until one day, suddenly something happened. He came back home, he collapsed. A blood vessel in his brain burst. And it was not just a blood vessel on the surface of the brain, but deep within. In order to save his life, they had to shift the brain as they operated on him to stop the bleeding. But in the course of moving the brain and stop the bleeding, they saved his life. Because he went into a coma, of course, first, and then he came out of the coma. But in the moving of the brain to stop the bleeding, they damage his motor skill. He was going to be in a wheelchair. His brain is still very sharp. Whenever he studies the Bible, whenever questions were asked, he would be able to answer them and they are all correct. Still very smart. But he will probably spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair. But this was the way that God used to save him and his parents. No other way. This was God's way. To break them of their pride, to break them of the sufficiency that they have leaned upon in the things of the world, in order for them to realize that without Christ, life is meaningless. And so through this experience, the whole family, the father, the mother, and the son came to know Christ. And this will be the life that they have to live, to look after the son. Now the son standing up with help from the maids and from the wife and from the father. He's taller than the parents. You know how difficult it is? Because there are times when he will suffer seizure. And he will just simply go limp. And then you have to train him and teach him how to use his hands all over again to just simply hold a spoon to feed himself. This will be their material world, physical world. For how long? He is no longer in P4 now. He is a grown man. He is in his early 20s now. And this had been the way that they have looked after him since he was primary 4. 10 years old. Now he's in his early 20s. And they're still looking after him. You and I just come for a Bible study, get out of our car. And within a few seconds, you're up in the lift. Now they have to spend at least 10 to 15 minutes just to bring him from the home where we have Bible study to the lift and then get down to the lift and then get to the car and then to carry him into the car and then to take the wheelchair and put it back into the back of the car. All these will take about 15 minutes or more. And yet they will keep on coming for Bible studies. They will come for night classes. They come for day classes in FEBC. And they will sit, he will sit through. And we look at some of us, we sit down, full use of our limbs, and then we have our phone, and our phone is our Bible, and then whenever there is a WhatsApp, we will stop and then we will answer. And we'll use that. The concentration that we give to God is half-hearted. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness means 100% focus in your spiritual well-being. Do not allow any distraction to take away your concentration in building up your spiritual life. That's what this miracle is all about. Leave your material world to Christ to take care of it. Whatever he gives to you, you just accept. He wants you to be a multi-billionaire. He will make you a multi-billionaire. And the multi-billion dollars that he gives to you will not ruin you because your focus is on the spiritual world. To do what is right in the eyes of God and not defile yourself. Because you have examples in the Bible who did that. And so when God made them powerful, made them very, very rich, even richer than billionaires, they were not corrupted by them because they continued to focus on the spiritual. Because the Lord knows what I need in the physical realm. And whatever he gives to me, I accept because he knows that by the faith that he has given to me, he knows that I will be able to manage without me falling into sin. So that I will not love mammon, I will continue to love God. You want to switch the two. You want to seek ye first the kingdom of man, the kingdom of mammon. And then trust God to provide your spiritual realm. It will not work. This is our responsibility, where God entrusted to us that if you are truly born again in Christ, it is our responsibility to seek God's kingdom first, to focus on spiritual and trust God in the material and don't flip it. If you flip it, you're going to face grievous consequences that will destroy your witness because we have seen this in the life of Lot, Abraham's nephew. Lot flipped it. Was he born again? Yes, because the Bible says just Lot was vexed every morning when he dwelt in Sodom until it was destroyed by fire and brimstone. He sought first the kingdom of mammon and resulted in unrighteousness instead of righteousness, and he ruined his testimony, and his children paid for it. They died in sin and they ended up in hell. Those who were married, the two daughters that he had were married, together with their families, his sons-in-laws, Lot's sons-in-laws, they all perished in Sodom, and they all died in sin. You seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness because you know my heavenly Father will provide. Because he knows the state and condition that I'm in. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is all-seeing. He can see. He knows what I'm going through. I trust him. Do you know that your heavenly Father knows exactly what you are going through? Don't compare. Thank God for the state and condition that you are in. If you are living in an HDB flat, thank God for that HDB flat. You're living in a big mansion, you thank God for the big mansion. Whatever the state and condition, it doesn't matter. If God saved you and caused you to become a child of God when you are a multimillionaire, so be it. Like Zacchaeus, very rich. Oh, of course he did what was right, but he was very rich. After he became a Christian, he was still pretty rich. A tax collector was a rich life. We're happy for you. Thank God that you have your swimming pool, you have your big bungalow, and you continue to have your lap pool in your bungalow, you have your lift in your bungalow, you have your own personal gym in your bungalow, now you're a Christian. We're happy for you. Nothing to be envious about. Fine, it's okay. Because for us, the spiritual part in your life is our most important emphasis. If you come to know Christ living in your HDB flat, thank God for HDB flat that God has saved me while I'm in this condition. If God saved you even before you have anything, thank God for the condition. If you are a Christian when you are a student, you don't have much other than what your parents have. Thank God for that. Whatever state and condition, you just focus on the spiritual because the Lord knows. You have to understand. And remind yourself that he knows whatever state and condition that you are in, so that you will not murmur, you will not complain, and you will not sin. Because he is compassionate. He's compassionate to the multitude. You think the multitude, they are all believers? No. But the fact of the matter was, they came to listen to Christ. That's why they were away from home. And because they came to listen to Christ, Christ showed compassion to them. And so they were with him for 3 days, listening to him, teaching, miracles, whatever it was, with nothing to eat. The Lord said, I can't send them away now because I care for them. Some believers, some unbelievers. But that is the magnanimous nature of our gracious, loving Heavenly Father. He provides. And then he said to the disciples, verse 4 to verse 9, not only does he know, he can multiply. He is not bound by the economy of our country. He is not bound by the economy of the world. So when you listen to the news and then you hear a lot of specialized great economists projecting downturn in economy, projecting difficult times ahead, will all these worry you? When they talk about the difficulty in Singapore's economy, where there will be inflation or deflation or people will lose their jobs, this particular profession will lose their job, this particular profession will be good because they're going to find job easily. All these, will it cause you to worry and fearful? Or will you continue to have peace in your heart? I am what I am doing because this is where God has called me. My trust is not in things of mammon. My trust is in my God. And I know that my Heavenly Father's hands are not bound by the economy of the world, where only when the economy is very, very good, then only my Heavenly Father can help. But when the economy goes down, then my Heavenly Father cannot help. Then you do not know God. You do not know your Heavenly Father. When he says, I know what you are going through, you must also understand that when I know, I do not just simply have passive knowledge. God always, when he says, I know, I'm going to do something. That's exactly what he will do next. And so he asked the disciples, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? They're in the wilderness. Where are we going to find enough to feed them? And then he said to them, he asked them, how many loaves have you? And then the disciples said, well, seven. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And then he took the seven loaves. And then he gave thanks. And then he broke and gave to the disciples, set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes as well. And then he blessed them too. And then commanded to set them also before them. Just like the feeding of the 5,000, this was similar. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, just simply multiplied whatever number of fishes, and with the seven loaves, he was able to feed all these 4,000. It was impossible with just simply seven loaves and a few fishes. And yet, with that tiny little amount, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to multiply it miraculously, supernaturally, so much so that when they started eating and eating and eating until everyone who sat down there were filled. Verse 8. And then not only were they filled, the Bible tells us that they took up of the broken meat that was left behind until everybody was so full and so satisfied that they could not eat anymore. And then they collected the extra and there were seven baskets left. Extra. That's how God provides. When God provides, God just will not just simply provide for you just enough for you to eat for today. He will also provide extra for you. And I'm sure all of us today here can testify to the extra. I'm sure you have extras. Do you not have extra? All of us, I think, in Singapore, and I'm sure all of you here in this sanctuary have extra. Do you have an extra shirt at home? Yes? Extra pair of pants? I'm sure. I do not think that any one of us, when we design our home, whether HDB or otherwise, there is this thing called cupboard. Right? Cupboard. What is the purpose of a cupboard in your home? Some of you want walk-in cupboard, right? What do you want? What is the purpose of a cupboard? A cupboard is to store your extra, right? That's why it's called a cupboard. All your extra. Extra what? Extra socks, extra shoes, extra garments, extra shirts, extra everything. You see? Extra. If you design your bedroom, just have a bed, no cupboard, then what you have is just what you put on. Right? So, you put into the laundry. So what do you wear? You probably wear newspaper. I mean, you only got one. So most of us will have at least one more extra. Right? Even one more extra, two. So that when you wash one, you have something to wear for the other. But I'm sure all of us have more than one extra. I'm sure we have multiple extras. Some of us so much that sometimes you ask yourself, why do I buy so much? So many pair of shoes. So many pairs of pants, so many shirts, so many t-shirts, so many. There's only one body. And that body can only wear one at a time. Actually, you also want to wear only one at a time. Who wants to wear three t-shirts at one time? I mean, I know of someone who wore many shirts at one time. That's because he's trying to come home to Singapore and then his luggage was overweight. So they allow overweight body but not overweight luggage. So he wore many layers. Right, he was coming back from Singapore, from America to Singapore, and it was winter time, and so he looked like a fat man. Because he really wore 5-6 layers. Okay? In order to lighten the load in the suitcase so that he can come back home and he wants to keep all those garments and he doesn't want to pay extra. And so he wore many layers just to come home. But other than that, you and I in this kind of climate, you only like to wear one. Right? Look at all of you. Just wear one. But I'm sure back home you have plenty because that's why we design cupboard. Refrigerator? What's a refrigerator for? Also extra. You see, our whole house is designed for extras, you know. Right? Refrigerator for extra, right? Because you want to keep the food that you cannot finish. Your house also have storeroom? Also extra. Right? Extra instant noodle. Extra this. Extra jam. Extra canned food. Extra. Right? Everything we do is extra. Do you know that your Heavenly Father is the one who has provided you with all these? Do you know that? Even at times when we have not focused on spiritual, our Heavenly Father has been merciful and compassionate to provide us with more than enough and provided extra. Just as He provided for the multitude, some are believers, some are not believers, He provided for everyone without distinction. You see how merciful and gracious our Heavenly Father has always been? And He has done the same for us. Even when we have forgotten to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And yet the Lord continue to be so compassionate and merciful to provide extra. And we living in Singapore do not have to be told too much about extra, because we all have extras. Even our children have extra. Extra pen, extra pencil, extra writing book, extra this, extra that. Our children are taught to have extra. Extra socks, extra shoes, extra pens, extra everything. If it all came from our Heavenly Father, He can multiply. He can help you and He can provide. He is not bound by the economy of the world. You have to know Him. And when you focus on spiritual, you will know Him. And the more you study the Bible, you will know Him better. The more you know Him, the better you will trust Him. And the more you trust Him, the more intimate your relationship with your Heavenly Father and with your Lord will become. And that is exactly what God wants for you and for me, because the Lord will always provide. Especially for His children. For His disciple, the Lord Jesus will take care. For Heavenly Father's children, His disciples. He loved you and me when we were His enemies. God says, how much more will I continue to love you now that you are my children, redeemed by the blood of my only begotten Son? Stop seeking after mammon. Seek spiritual things and a life of righteousness and holiness. Would you do that? What you have not done in the past cannot be relived. But if you are not living the life that Christ wants you to live, to be a holy witness for Him, would you now repent and come back and stop seeking after mammon? That was what we used to do when we were unbelievers, dead in sin, blind to the spiritual realm. We are sought after material things. They were most important to us when we were unbelievers. Now that we are children of the Most High God, we have to trust that the Lord will provide and take care of our material, because the Lord wants us to focus our heart, our mind, our energy, our soul on His kingdom, things spiritual, and to live a life of righteousness. Evaluate your life one by one. How is your relationship with God in prayer, in giving? Have you been praying without ceasing? Have you been giving your time, your substance, according to the teaching of God's word? How is your time spent in reading the Bible, in studying the Bible? Do you spend time doing it? Is it your daily diet? Now we are already in the month of April. Did you make a promise to God at the turn of this new year in December? Did you reconsecrate your life to make promises to the Lord to read God's word more, to study God's word more, to attend the Bible studies and the fellowship groups that this church has provided for your spiritual well-being? And now, 4 months later, or 3.5 months later, have you continued or have you just simply given up? Repent and come back. Rekindle your love and pray that the Lord will give you a fresh new desire and zeal to study His word every day. Just like you eat physical food, you need spiritual food more
than physical food. Did the Lord Jesus Christ not tell us, men shall not live by bread alone, but men shall live by every word that proceeded out from the mouth of God, which is the Bible? Isn't that what a child of God should now experience in his heart, in his life? Then how's the relationship with all the possessions that you have? We touch about that this afternoon. And what about your relationship with the people in your life? Husband-wife relationship, is it healthy? Is it according to the scriptures? Husband, do you love the wife and helping her to grow spiritually? Is she more spiritual now than the first day when you married her? If you have not helped her to become more spiritual from the day that you married her, then you have failed her and you have failed her parent who gave her to you to guard her and to protect her spiritual life. And now you have hurt her and you have ruined her and you probably has made her more carnal. You repent. And then you think of how you can help her become more spiritual. One of the ways is to start praying with her before you begin the day and before you end the day. Encourage her to read the Bible. Encourage her to attend Bible studies. And if she's working, both of you are working, one of you going to give up your job and stay home to take care of the children. Don't trust it to the maid so that you can have more money. You are sacrificing the spiritual for mammon. You are not seeking after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but seeking after the kingdom of mammon. And wives, are you doing your duty in praying for your husband to be a proper, biblical, godly helper, suitable for him, to help him become more spiritual as he hates your family, to help you and your children become more spiritual? Now, these are all that you have to ponder and think through as you understand the Lord's provision. These are the spiritual areas in your life that you have to think through. Your work, your friends, your family, God's enemies, your enemies, all these, if they are not according to scriptures, you have to fix it. Because that's what seeking first the kingdom of God means. That all areas of my life must be Bible-based. And it must be a life of righteousness in all these areas. And that must be your one and only all-consuming focus and desire. And when you live this way, you can guarantee and rest assured, based upon God's assurance and promise, at the end of your life, your Heavenly Father and your Lord Jesus Christ will say to you with a smile on their faces, "Well done and welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Because you have lived your life according to the word of God, and you will never be wrong. Because God promised us, it will always turn out for your good." Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, as we reflect on the life that you have redeemed with the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For some of us who have been believers for more than 20 over years, some even more than that, 30 over years. And yet, O Lord, as we look back on our lives, how few have been the years where we have sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we have allowed the world to grip our hearts, and we have forgotten what it was like to seek God's kingdom first, because we have sought the kingdom of mammon, just like as if when we were not born again in Christ. Forgive us. Forgive us, O Lord, when we have hurt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ at home, in school, at work, and in church. When we have not lived our lives according to Holy Scriptures, when we could have, forgive us. Cleanse us and wash us of all our sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may thy Holy Spirit bring conviction to renew our love for thee, so that we may reconsecrate our lives to fix all those areas, to ensure that we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness and trust thee to provide all that we need in the physical realm. Prepare our hearts, O Lord, as we come before the Lord's table in a moment's time. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.